Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Ricky Anderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts, the GOAP. After only a couple of days, we had Casey Pratt on earlier this week, but now we got the boys from Last Dive Bar. We got Brian Johansson and Paul Bailey, the dudes who made the Fans Fest happen, or one of the many dudes who made the Fans Fest happen, and my co-host Hal Gordon.
Hot dog!
Hal's also dressed like a possum for our audio only. So that's why you should go on YouTube to see Hal dressed as a possum for the whole interview.
Yeah, I was dressed like a normal person. And the Last Dive Bar guys, they bought this possum costume for the freaking Fans Fest and made me wear it. And I get on this call and Brian's like, where's your possum costume? Put that on. I bought that for you.
Yo, we didn't have to twist his arm that hard, though.
No, we didn't.
He just said the word possum and Hal went running.
Yeah. We said we got a possum costume and 1,000 stickers.
We bought the possum costume without anybody in mind. And like 8 seconds after we bought it, Brian's like, Hal. We're like, Hal.
I don't even recognize you without the possum costume now. Now I reckon
like a no-brainer.
I recognize you, yeah. Well, dudes, I just saw, so it's Thursday night about 6:30 on the West Coast, and I just saw John Shea just publish an article today quoting you guys, or, and actually quoting your treasurer. Of course you guys are in the headlines. You guys can't stay out of the headlines. I love it. Before we get into Fans Fest, we definitely want to talk about Fans Fest. So word on the streets, is that there might be some resistance to your opening day boycott. They might try to kick you out or something, or limit tailgating. What's the deal? What have you heard? And where did that story kind of generate from, you know?
Yeah. So we got, Last Dive Bar, we got a DM over on Instagram, and a guy was claiming that a good friend of his, who's a supervisor for the parking lot for the A's, basically was communicated to that after the first pitch that they were to clear out the parking lot. And so we talked back and forth on this because I'm like, there's no way they can do that. Todd and the 68s, you know, they got confirmation from the property management group, not JPA, but the property management group that, that we can do this. We can just similar to like the reverse boycott, right? And that we can do this. And so
I emailed them before Thanksgiving to ask them. I was worried.
Yeah, so we got hard confirmation from them that we could do this, so I was like a little skeptical about it, but still, I mean, it reeks of like the Drake situation where, you know, we didn't do this, and just them getting involved and getting meddling or trying to find out, you know, and trying to get information and stuff. And so, you know, we wouldn't put it past them that there was some sort of communication that occurred, but we didn't know. And so, you know, like we do, we post it, you know what I mean? Because put it out there, because the A's aren't going to openly communicate to anybody. So we wanted to put it out there and force the hand and get confirmation from them whether it can or can't happen. And then very quickly, John Shea was on top of it. And obviously, the A's came out and said, no, there's not going to be any efforts to stop the protest, stop people coming in. And so with that, party on.
So you think it's good? You actually going to have no interference? I mean, you guys, it sounds like you guys like went to the right sources and everything.
I don't think they could have done anything. I think Okay, so my little conspiracy mind started spinning, right? And I think what they were trying to do is low key put a little bit of a word out there that would happen to keep people from coming. Like they can't really do anything, but they could, you know, say a little thing here, say a little thing there. Word gets around, and not so many people show up, and it makes us look like we fell flat on our face. I think that was kind of the end goal. Like they know they can't do anything.
Yeah, so we basically got ahead of that. You know what I mean? We got ahead of that, and we're just like,
yeah,
oh,
we
no.
Did.
You trying to play checkers and shit? LDB, Oakland 68s, we play Mahjong, we play chess, we play backgammon, man. We play Monopoly on steroids. Like,
Monopoly.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm like, Monopoly. if you want to get this kind of this leak or whatever going out there, and say that you know, oh, we're going to be stopping people from coming in, trying to dissuade the public from being there. Nah, we're on top of that. We need an official statement from you guys. And we know how to get it.
Dude, I love it. I love how you and the 68s are just like this season and just like throwing down. You're just like, nah.
No,
yeah,
dude.
you put on the gloves.
What do we have to lose? What do we have to lose?
The last season. Yeah, they're already going. Yeah.
Well, it's like when Hulk Hogan teamed up with Macho Man and had to make numbers and shit. You know what I mean? Like you got now the two groups working together. We got a group text. We're on top of this shit, man. They can't put anything, they can't get anything past us or get ahead of us. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, brother.
You know, I'm telling you, man, it's like, it's their worst nightmare, dude. You got LDB and fucking Oakland 68 all up in your ass. Like, this shit ain't going to stop. And you
Hal,
throw a possum in the mix.
Don't forget the possum.
I was going to say, Hal, what you got, dude? What you got, Hal?
Hey man, I'm drinking an almanac.
Big time FanFest sponsor.
Huge FanFest sponsor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's what we do.
Delicious.
So what's are you guys back down to earth yet from FanFest or what? How are you feeling? Like, I mean, I know it's been what 4 or 5 days or something like that. It probably seems like an eternity, but but I mean, what was you guys' reaction to that? You know, I would love to hear from you guys.
You first, Paul.
I still have coworkers coming up to me at work who didn't go. They're like, I should have gone. Because I had one coworker who went, and he told our entire plant about it. And so I'm having people come up to me, and they're like, man, I should have gone. I knew I should have gone. This guy I worked directly with, he's like, man, why didn't you tell me it was going to be so cool? And I was like, bro, you just got to follow me and everything will be all right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come to the boycott.
I'm trying to convince him to come to the boycott, but I think he's working that night because I'm off. But yeah, I mean, it's been really cool. I'm actually trying to springboard this into a new job. So like, you know, it's been pretty fucking sick. and the crazy thing about it is I feel like this is kind of the beginning for like this year, I think is going to be really big for us. We've got some ideas. Obviously, we have a big meeting coming up soon where we're going to really nail stuff down. But I think this is just our springboard. It got us a big splash. It got us attention. It got us a lot of attention. Like our email is full of people wanting to work with us now. And I can just imagine what the 68's email looks like, but we've left a lot of people on red in our email. Like we haven't responded to them.
Oh,
Ryan.
Wow. Celebrities.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Dude, I love it. Dude, I freaking love it. I remember interviewing you guys right before you were about to start this thing too. You're like, oh, we got something big in the plans. And dude, look at it now.
We're always like that though. We, from the beginning, we've always like thought what's the next thing we're gonna do, what's next, and like it seems like a lot of them like do really well, or they just kind of like the Astros thing just didn't happen. That's probably the biggest regret I have that we weren't able to pull off, but we're always constantly plotting and scheming. And
what was the Astros thing?
Cats.
What was that?
So in 2020 we were gonna do the Battle of the Bang. And we had like inflatable garbage cans, and because the Astros were gonna come,
it was their
on
first
opening
game,
day.
First game back since the whole scandal and everything, right?
And we had all these photoshops done. We were gonna do cheer cards and give cheer cards to everybody behind the Astros dugout. We just had all these plans, and they just never came to fruition because of COVID and everything. So
the battle of the the Battle of the Bang was the first time I'd sort of like heard about you guys, because I wanted to want when I was vending, you know, because it was like opening night, right? Against the Astros.
Yeah.
So in 2020. So, you know, like I was just gonna bring, you know, I was just because I, you know, I'm walking around, I like to make noise. So instead of banging my hot dog thing, I was gonna bring a small trash can.
I'm sorry, Hal, I can't take you seriously. I can't. This is really hard to do. This, you got the tail flapping around. You got the hands. I'm like,
I understand.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
People listening to this on the podcast.
Podcast.
People listen to this on the podcast are gonna be real confused.
Yeah.
I mean, they made me dress up like a furry for this conversation. I'm sorry, but I wanted to get like, and I think I saw somewhere on social media one of your logos with the Trashdros logos.
Oh yeah.
And so I remember going on to WTFBrian.com or whatever it was, and I found that I bought a big sticker because I want to put it on my trash can, and you guys, not only you guys sent me that sticker, you sent me a free shirt and like a message like, whoa, what up, Hal? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, this is sick.
We love your wieners.
Oh my god, this is just getting like
a nice story.
So tonight, I mean, I don't know, I can cut this out later if it's not cool, but tonight you guys are doing some brainstorming with the 68s about opening day. Is that right? Is that cool?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we don't know what you guys are going to talk about.
You don't know what you're going to talk about, but you guys got some plans in the works, right? I mean.
It's going to be, I mean, if anybody was at the reverse boycott, anybody saw videos of the reverse boycott, the Unite the Bay, I mean, this thing's going to be massive, you know what I mean? And so the expectation is there's going to be, you know, 15, 20,000 people there, hopefully more, right? And then it's going to just be massive. So tonight's our first meeting. And so we're going to be acting like real quick on this and making some quick decisions, because we got to start putting some marketing stuff out there and doing all that. So a lot of the decisions will be made tonight that will kind of get this ball rolling. But yeah, you can expect the unexpected and the expected. You know, what's on record right now is we got 5,000 subs that we'll be handing out. I haven't talked to Paul yet, but I want to do an acrylic pin of the official boycott tee that we got dropping tomorrow. And so I want to do some acrylic pins, Paul, so I hope you don't mind. You know, maybe we can check.
We can debate that right now, I guess. Actually, yeah, let's just fucking do it. Like,
This is kind of how it goes.
It's kind of like me or Brian messages the other person and goes, what do you think of this? He goes, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be in the same, you know, it's going to be in the same spot that it was last time. We'll have, you know, massive setup. We'll have our booth out there. Me and Paul, we're doing games. So we got NorCal Nodders. He's going to be making this thing where, you know, the little clowns that you throw the ball at and you knock down the clowns. So we're going to basically have one of those. So where you can come up, play the game, you knock down one, you get a calendar. You knock down two, you get a calendar and a pin. You knock down like all of them, then you're going to get a cowbell, right? So we're going to have some giveaways. We're going to have tons of giveaway stuff at our booth. Any leftover FanFest buttons that are currently on our website, we'll be giving out the FanFest buttons. We'll have a little additional giveaway. We'll have a little additional giveaway with the pins and stuff like that. So there's just going to be so much stuff for like fans in attendance. And the goal is to keep everybody entertained the entire duration of the game, to where there's no temptation to want to even enter the game, right? There's going to be live music. There's going to be food. There's going to be, like I said, games, giveaways. So, I mean, it's going
to
be...
It's going to be on the radio too, right? Like you're going to be able to... I mean, I'm sure people are going to be blasting out of their cars too, right? Or do you not even want people to listen to the game or what? Like, what do you...
So we're going to talk about that, because, I mean, there are some people that, like, I mean, opening day, it's like, this is the first opening day in, I don't know, 20-something years that I haven't been to. So it's like, you know, some people want the opportunity to listen to the game, watch the game. So we'll have, you know, certain options that we'll have to discuss tonight and everything. But yeah, definitely like... Everybody's going to be tailgating around the entire parking lot. So, I mean, just, it's going to be like Burning Man there. You know what I mean? It's going to be massive, dude.
I hope not. I hope it's not like Burning Man. Like, no.
Yeah, and I know people are like, oh, but then you got to pay for parking and give John Fisher money. Who gives a shit? Pay it. Come party. This is going to be epic. If you feel bad about that, then triple what you paid on parking and give that to schools over stadiums. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, if you feel so bad about giving John Fisher money, then triple that up and you know, put money towards stopping the money that he would be getting in Las Vegas. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm going crazy. I'm like, dude, what if we raise $1 million to stop $380 million? Like, what if we did that as fans? Like, how insane would that be? Raise $1 million on one night and boom, gets on the ballot like that. Like, that'd be crazy. It'd be crazy, you know?
Boom. Yeah. So now the finite stadiums is going to be out there again. So yeah, they'll be out there in a parking lot.
Yeah, but like the details and everything like that, like we'll put out all that stuff, just like reverse boycott, how we put out the map, instructions and stuff like that. And we'll, you know, we'll set up some stuff with, like, you know, when you get your flag, okay, then, you know, shit, you know, who knows, we'll have like some chant or something and you fly all the flags, like get some drone shots of that.
Well, yeah, how's that deal? Was for the fifth inning, everybody honks on their horns and shit like that. Instead of a moment standing up, like everybody, bam, 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 bam.
Exactly. Especially like, let's say like 2,000 or less people go into opening day. Like, imagine the parking lot, 20,000 people honking their horn, waving their cell flags, right? And then you know
the news organizations are going to have their helicopters.
Is Gabe calling?
You know,
Gabe's calling me right now.
Yeah, he's calling me too, man.
I'm gonna answer the phone and he's gonna be like, hey, I got a question for you. That's how he always
says. Yeah. Put him on speaker.
Put him on.
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
What's going on?
Not much. I'm just now finally getting around to finishing the video. I'm hoping to post it tomorrow, but
okay.
I gotta like go through some stuff. It's a really long one.
It's a really long video?
Yeah, it's a long one. And also,
that's what she said, Gabe.
That's what she said, Gabe.
Yeah, so let him know he's on a podcast.
Hey, Gabe, you're not on a podcast right now, okay? Brian and I are on a podcast right now. You're on a podcast.
Like say literally, hi, right?
What's up, Gabe?
You're on the Ricky. You're on the Ricky blog. No, you're good. You're good. Welcome to the pod. What are you doing right now?
Fans Fest video.
Yeah. Did you have fun at Fans Fest? Tell me more about Fans Fest.
Oh, it was amazing.
Wasn't it?
I mean, if you saw me, I was running around.
Mm-hmm. I saw you.
Camera. Mm-hmm. I was making a video and also doing a live stream.
Oh, really? Tell me more about that. How many
Gabe,
viewers?
Gabe, what can we expect from this video?
Gabe, what can we? Gabe, Hal wants to know what we can expect from this video.
It's not like my other ones. Usually it's me walking around and showing off my experience, but in this video, really, because I was doing a live stream and this video, it's not really like that. It's kind of just more, in a way, kind of showing off the sounds of Fans Fest in a sense.
All right. Hey, what was your favorite part of Fans Fest?
I would say when I met Dave Cavill.
Yes. Yes. That was all me, everybody. That was all me.
That was good.
Okay. Sorry.
Hey, I picked the actor. I picked
you
the actor.
The actor. You did. But the render, boys. The render.
The render.
I would say the
fucking castle.
Yeah, the castle killed me.
I don't know if I can say this week because you guys are on a podcast.
You can say anything you want. Anything you want.
You guys have to bleep it out. The day before Fans Fest, and I'll share this in my video, is Grant Balfour wrote "fuck" on my ball.
Grant Balfour wrote
amazing.
"fuck."
That's
yeah, he did. On your what?
He did.
On your,
you heard it here first.
On his baseball.
Oh, his baseball. Oh,
yeah. The night before we had a private signing. The night before we had a private signing at the hotel.
You think Grant Balfour is.
And Gabe, correct me if I'm wrong, but like you had him sign the wrong part of the ball or wrong section of the ball.
All-Star game ball, it was meant for Grant Balfour, and because I was filming, I asked Rob if he can get Balfour to sign it.
Fucking
and
Rob
Coco came over to sign his stuff first, and Rob accidentally grouped it in with Coco stuff, and Coco didn't even see it, and he signed it on the sweet spot. Okay. And then Rob noticed it afterwards and was like, oh, shoot, my bad. And at first I was like, I was kind of bothered by it, but then I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter because I'm not selling it. It's going to be in my collection. So I just said, whatever. Like, I already bought the ball. Like, Coco's on it. I might as well just have Balfour sign it anyway. And I had, you know, I turned it so Balfour wouldn't see it. And, yeah, he just was like, what the fuck? Why did Coco sign it? And I had to explain to him what happened. And then Rob was in the middle of having him sign other stuff, and he asked him if he could write fuck on his jersey. So then he ended up, I was like, might as well, can you put fuck on my baseball? And so he wrote fuck on the baseball.
Yeah, I saw it. It's pretty cool, too. Perfect. Because he did quote signs around it, too. It's pretty...
Dude, I gave... So, I gave
can you guys tell us a bit more about how... maybe you should go on mute and right, talk to... finish your phone call. So, Brian, can you tell us more about how you guys found the fake Dave Cavill and how that happened? Because I know it was Paul wanted that for the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
I think
yeah
Paul like was Paul. Saying, like, we should have 10 Dave Cavills, but, like, but that one Dave Cavill. That would have been hilarious. So how did that come together?
So, I don't know if we had the, if I had, like, if the Rally Possum idea came first or Cavill. I don't know which one came first, but right off the bat, like, I was like, okay, we need mascots there. Let's have the Rally Possum there. So we were like, you know, looking for the costumes, and they were horrible until I found that one, right? And I was like, this is great, especially with Hal in it. It got his face animated. It's all good. So we got that. But then, like, Dave Cavill, like, that was Paul's idea from the get. Like, he's like, oh, if we had fake Dave Cavill walking around just saying stupid shit. And so the minute we kind of, like, decided, like, how we wanted the character to be, like, what type of Dave Cavill, I knew, like, it hit me, like, one day. I was like, oh, shit, I got the perfect person. Stephen Babb, you know, he's done like, radio, like, podcast stuff before. He was really good behind the mic, quick-witted. And then he kind of looks like him, even though, like, a better-looking version of Dave Cavill, right? And then I knew he did acting and stuff. So I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, this is a no-brainer. And so I pitched the idea to Steven. And Steven was like, oh, hell yeah. I was like, you got a suit? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go get it altered and everything. So he got it altered. He went out and got the green and yellow tie. And then we, you know, me and Paul said, like, dude, let's have him pass out stickers, right? So obviously, Hal, you got the Summer of Boycott Rally Possum sticker.
I want to ask and then about he got Summer the Boycott for sure. I mean, I love it already. Yeah. I'm sure it's
yeah. And then Cavill had the Dave Occhio little Pinocchio stickers that he was passing out. And just like every time he'd say that, hey, you want a sticker? I was just like, oh my God. And he was giving them to Foul Territory, and he was just giving them to everybody. And like Hal was giving this the little middle finger boycott stickers to kids and shit. And it was so fucking funny.
I
it was like
kept walking you know. Away. I kept walking away before parents could see what was on the sticker. So you guys were just like, you know, putting, you know, like, hey, we're gonna have Hal, we're gonna give him these stickers, we're gonna give him this goofy outfit. And meanwhile, I was out there, like, being, like, you know, I was getting my cotton candy machine fixed. You know, I was, like, messaging tons of people on the internet, hey, can you help me fix this cotton candy machine from the 1970s? So I got a fix. I made a shit ton of cotton candy. But then I also had all these free stickers, right? And kids love stickers, and they love cotton candy. And it's, you know, it's like a little cartoon of a little animal. People were loving it. And I, like, kept forgetting that the cartoon is flipping the bird. In fact, there's somebody on Twitter posted just like an hour or two ago, this picture, this like video of their like, couldn't be more than 3-year-old kid who was just crying. He says, oh, and he had the sticker. He said, I want to see this guy again. Cause he just wanted the cotton candy aww again. But he's holding up a sticker flipping the bird. Yeah.
Well, see, and that's the thing that's so cool and, like, that's so amazing, right? And, like, you heard, like, Scott Braun talking on Foul Territory about this is, like, the attention to detail of Fans Fest was, like, just executed to perfection, right? All those little things, like, Hal made sure he got that cotton candy machine working so he could walk around. So you got people passing out cotton candy, stickers, fake Dave Cavill, the banners that were everywhere. We made sure we had banners and sponsored posters throughout the event.
You got the player interviews, yeah, like that must have been
players, and not only that, but like legendary.
Yeah, I was gonna ask
you. You know, and then the Johns, right? We had the Johns. Paul's idea.
Did you see the video I took of me just busting one and going,
yeah, like, and then just like yeah, there's so many things. And like, you know, Melissa Lockhart, when she was on Foul Territory, she said it perfectly. She said, like, the reason why this is so much better and people consider this the greatest fan fest they've ever been to is because the people that are throwing it know exactly what they want, because we are them. You know what I mean? And
it's not some like cheesy, contrived marketing group. Yeah, like, oh, let's have a meeting about this. Or it's you guys. You guys made it happen. Yeah.
It was so genuine, and it was so like just perfect, right? And all the vendors and stuff that we had there was like, oh my god, this the memorabilia. It's like we worked tons of shows with these guys, and so we know exactly like who we need there. And like, you had everything from like game used patches from Steve Sale. He was the ex-Stitch guy with the Oakland A's. Like, he was selling all that stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. And then Carl Sings, Mike and Carlos, like, they have amazing memorabilia. You got Rob's bobbleheads. You got Guy Slawinski, the resident artist. Yeah. You have Steve-O custom cards there. You have, you know, Guy Slawinski, the artist, he's there. And then there's just so many additional vendors. We had Andy Dolich there, like the ex, executive of the A's. He was there, signing his book and everything.
Brian, I walked. I remember at the end of Fans Fest, I walked around with you. Like, this was like after 4 o'clock. People were done. You still had some buttons, so you were just handing out buttons to some of the vendors. And you were asking them how they did, and what did they tell to you? Like, I remember, what did they say to you at the end of FanFest? What did the vendors say to you?
Yeah, so there was a couple things that really stood out, what they said, right? One, they said this is the greatest event they've ever been at, like, from just just the feeling they got, the atmosphere, the vibe, everything. It was the best thing they've ever been a part of. And then the second thing is, it was the best event financially that they've ever done. Like, almost every vendor sold out of everything. We had a vendor almost sell out twice, like the lemonade group that was there. They had to go stop, buy lemons just so they can continue on with the event.
We conveniently put FanFest only two blocks from the restaurant supply store. So that was, I know that restaurant supply store. I bought cut onions and sauerkraut there many a time.
They got lemons over there.
Yeah, they definitely got lemons there. No worry.
Yeah, and so that's why, like what Paul was saying earlier, like, so many people have reached back out to us because they want to be involved in events coming up, like, throughout the year, because now they know the type of like reception they're going to get when they go there, and just how much like love all the fans show these vendors. They're like, dude, we want to be a part of this. Like, we got to continue doing this. And the great thing is a lot of these vendors and stuff, after the fact, started getting business as a result. Like Marquis Products, he's been printing up banners, the FanFest banner, like making sales from that.
We found him because I was trying to see if some sucker would give us a free stage or something. So I put a picture of an old Fans Fest, John Clendon Square, when the A's ran it, which had a huge stage with huge audio and big old banners, and nobody gave me a free stage. But he messaged me at the bottom. He goes, I don't have a stage, but I can make you as many banners as you want. So
he did.
What's his name again? And where's he from?
Nick. So that's Nick with Mark East Products. They're up there in Boulder or Lodi, Stockton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I think it's Stockton or something. Yeah. So he did. You're muted, Paul.
You're muted. Yeah.
No, he's. I don't know what happened.
Maybe I was muted. So he's from Stockton. His office is in downtown Stockton, and since I'm in Stockton, it was my job to go over and get the fucking banners, right? So I go over there and I start talking to the guy, and him and I, turns out we're both from the same small town in the foothills of California. We both graduated from the same high school. So it was like, wow. And like, he was like playing golf or was on the golf team with, like, my favorite teacher. And it was like his same, Mr. Beeler, shout out. Mr. Beeler's still driving that old raggedy RAV4 too, apparently. So he hasn't changed his car in fucking 20 years. But it was just kind of wild. I was like, bro, like, when he told me this, I was like, did you fucking stalk me? Like, this is fucking creepy, bro. Like, are you sure? But yeah, it was kind of wild. So like Nick and I are like besties now. Sorry, Brian. Yeah.
No, you're good.
Dude, one more thing I want to talk about too is that you mentioned Rob Roberts. Like, dude, he did such an incredible job with those bobbleheads and like the see the players' reactions and everything. Like, shout out NorCal Nodder, 33 Customs. Give him a follow. I've never seen cooler bobbleheads in my life. Like, I'm not even joking. He makes the coolest bobbleheads you've ever seen. You know,
they're the best.
And Steve-O, I want to point out Steve-O because Steve-O's cards, right? He was going to do another show the next day on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
He sold out so many of his cards, he didn't have enough cards to do the show the next day. That's how good of an event this was for him. Mm-hmm. His dad was like so pumped.
Guy Slawinski said this was the best event financially he's ever worked.
Yeah. Good for Guy.
He deserves some love, man. We got to get Guy on the podcast too.
Yeah.
If you're an A's fandom, right? Like, scroll down on our Instagram to find that the sponsor banner. You need a service. You need something like provided like to you or something like that. Go look up one of the sponsors and give your business to them. You know what I mean? Say, hey, you were at FanFest. You gave back to me as a fan and like, you know, Cruise Plumbing. Yo.
Take my money.
They were like our first sponsor.
Yeah, you go up. You already see it, like with the Treehouse Cafe. People are like, I'm driving up there just to go have a cup of coffee. Yep. Like, if you're going to Tahoe, stop at the Treehouse Cafe and go get something to eat.
Treehouse Cafe, take a look around because you might find a Hal the Hot Dog Guy card. Somewhere around there, you know, just keep your eyes open.
Yeah, we ended up sending him like we sent him
shirts and a poster,
Dive bar poster, yeah. And so
they can have a dive bar poster too. There. Sick.
Yeah, yeah. So he's
John Fisher owns a house like right in King's City right there, or whatever it is, King's Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know what I mean. That's what I'm hoping happens with this event is a lot of the organizations and the groups that were there continue to get business from the very fans that were a patron of their booth or something like that. And you know, I think moving forward when we do these events and stuff, I think that's a cool thing. Everybody gets information about the vendors that are there and continue to use their services, their products, give them business, and just help support the local community. You know what I mean? And
this would be a part of this community is about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I want to ask you too. You guys were instrumental in getting all the players. What did the players think?
Oh man. So Coco, I text back and forth like the day after, like after he left. Made sure everybody got home safe and everything like that. But like Ben Grieve was like, dude, he's been loving it. He's been loving all the stuff. Like, he's like now like reinvested into what's going on. Same thing with Balfour. Balfour's like adding all the pictures that we tag him, that people will tag us. And then when I repost the picture with the FanFest background, then I basically tag Grant so he sees it. But he's been reposting it onto his story and everything like that on IG. And just like, keeps texting me and Rob, and just like they're just blown away with basically how magical that whole event was. And there's just such a good feeling that they got from being there, and they're extending themselves to us, like saying, hey, you got something else, you know, in the pipeline later on in the year or something, call me, and if I'm free, I'm coming.
Hell yeah. That's amazing, dude.
You know, I can imagine too that, you know, there's a part of this, of the Oakland A's ceasing to exist, that is especially painful, I think, for some of the players, right? You know, where, you know, if you're Grant Balfour or something, you know, you're not making the Hall of Fame, you know, you're not getting your jersey retired anywhere. But, you know, as long as the Oakland A's exist, there's, you know, the chance, you know, every few years that they'll invite you back and you'll come out, you know, at the stadium and, you know, and
Dude, but that clip's never going to die. That clip of game 162 is never going to die.
Right, like, right. That'll never die. That'll never die. But yeah. I think that that's why he's, you know, that why he's so excited that, that this community, and especially that people like you guys have worked so hard to keep this community going, why he'd be so excited. You know, I remember I worked for a few years as a vendor at for the Washington Nationals. And, you know, I remember being there and seeing there was this one small place between the second and third upper deck where they had, you know, the number, the retired numbers from the Montreal Expos. You know, Gary Carter, Andre Dawson, maybe a couple others. But I just remember kind of thinking like, you know, shit, like if you're Gary Carter, you're in the Hall of Fame, you have a Montreal Expos hat on, you got no place to go back to. I mean, I guess like hockey games, right? But like, but there's no, you know, there's no Expos old timer games to go back to. And so, you know, I think probably this was really meaningful to these players too, because they realized, oh, this community is still going to be around. You know, I can still connect with this community and stuff. And yeah.
So that, yeah, my like head spinning with all these things popping into my head. But so one funny thing, before I touch on a couple of other things is, like Coco was funny because I was picking up Coco from the airport on Friday. Right. And like, he's like, hey, you know, what car are you gonna be in? I'm like, oh dude, white truck, bald head, tall and incredibly handsome. And he didn't respond. And I'm like, uh-oh. And then so I pick him and his significant other up, Tika. What's up, Tika? And so I pick him up, he gets in the car and he's just kind of like this, like I'm sitting over here and he's like this. Every time I talk, he's just going like this, like giving me the side eye like that. And I'm like, man, what? I'm like, fuck.
Oh, you're hella nervous or whatever. Yeah.
And so it turned out he had a kink in his neck and he couldn't turn his head left. So the whole time I thought like, oh damn, I messed up with Coco. He's thinking like, what event am I walking into? Right. But one thing that all the players said, right, is that they didn't know what to expect going into this, like a fans fest led by Last Dive Bar and the Oakland 68s. They're like, what the fuck is this, right?
It's a big
and then
of
so
fame.
a lot of them were in shock with like how massive it turned out to be, how perfectly executed it was, how on schedule everything was.
You guys
were
organized as hell, huh? You guys
very organized.
Grant said we were organized. And to me, that was the biggest compliment he could have given us.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, you know, the A's haven't done a fan fest 3 years, right? Going on like fourth year, right?
Yeah. 2019.
Yeah. COVID 2020.
Yeah, but with that, they haven't done a lot of the things they used to do as far as like fan engagement and getting the players out, getting the past players out and having all those meet and greets and those private things. So they haven't done a lot. So fans have been yearning for attention. They've been yearning for love. They've been yearning for this shit. So the way that FanFest was offered to them, like they were just blown away with it, to where like their emotions were just coming out all day long. And so you saw that and the players saw that, the players felt that. And so that made him be like, you know, that much more special. You know what I mean? Because the fans were yearning for this shit. They deserved it. And it was like they finally got what they deserved. You know what I mean?
Dude, way to go.
And that was cool to sit back and watch that. Because I was up on the balcony.
Yeah.
Paul was taking pictures.
Far, yeah. Yeah.
I had a kind of a like a an interesting vantage point of Fans Fest where like where I was kind of on a lot of text messages watching you guys do a lot of work and not doing much work. And I have to say, when you're saying like, oh my God, you know, the fans were yearning for this, you know, the fans deserve this, like from the bottom of my heart, and I know from the bottom of at least 10,000 fans' hearts, like what you guys put in, like the incredible amount of work that you guys put in, was so meaningful to people. Like, you know, it felt like we're a normal, you know, felt like we're a normal fan group, man. It was great. You guys
it looked really cool. Like, I mean, I'm in Mexico and I was just looking on social media and stuff and I was like, damn, it was the first time in 5 months I was like, I actually want to be back home right now. Like, this would be kind of cool to go to, you know?
FOMO. So,
yeah. But I can't wait for opening day.
Like,
yeah, that's going to be amazing. Yeah. I'll be back.
Yeah, because I mean, like what we do with Last Sidebar, it's like what we try to do is take our personalities out of Last Sidebar, right? And just show a lot of the imagery, show a lot of the fandom, show a lot of the Coliseum, and basically be a mirror, right? To where the consumer is looking at Last Sidebar and seeing a reflection. That reflection is their experiences at the Coliseum, their experiences with their family watching baseball, their experiences with the players and their personal stories. And so they see that one shot of this portion of the Coliseum and it reminds them of something. And so like FanFest was a labor of love from people that love the A's and love the Coliseum so much, right? And
love the
I know
troughs.
It was a celebration.
Love the
yeah,
Coliseum
the troughs. You know what I mean? And I know it was a celebration. Yeah, it was a celebration of Oakland sports. But I mean, you know, 90% of the people there were there because of the A's, right? Mm-hmm. And so this was really like a coming out party for all, like, you know, like the ballers especially. This was the first time they were exposed to the public on this large scale and stuff like that. So seeing people light up to see the ballers and talking with them and you know.
Oh shit! Did we lose him? Did I lose you? Am I still here?
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah. I mean that was huge, right? And then having the president of the Roots and the and soul there speaking with everybody. I mean, those ports, the ports were there, and they had Splash. They had their general managing partner there. Like it was very important for all these people involved, and you could tell. And you and so I appreciate that. And even like the Bay Area Panthers, who used to be in Oakland, they came all the way up and donated all these jerseys for the silent auction and stuff like that. And so not only us, but all the vendors and the sports teams and community partners that were there, they put a lot of time and effort into their presence there. And it showed, right? Every booth looked amazing. And so, but yeah, I get really emotional, like looking back at it and just hearing like the effect that it had on people. Like, people are just like, this is one of the greatest moments I've ever had.
Hell
being,
yeah, guys.
Hell yeah. Being a fan.
That's what I kept hearing. It's the best fan fest they've ever been to. That's, yeah. You know, for being our very
absolutely.
First one, pulling yeah. it right out of our ass and like getting it done. The one thing I really want to take away from this with the players, right, is if we do this again next year, like we have got, you know, players in our pockets as like references.
Yeah.
Right. Because like we might reach out to some player and then we're like, oh, fuck it. Who the fuck are
they're
these
like,
guys?
No,
right?
But talk to Coco.
Right?
Yeah. Talk to
yeah.
Coco.
Go talk to Coco. Go talk to Grant.
Go talk to Coco.
Yeah.
Go talk to Billy North, who loves us.
Yeah. So they got, and
then Billy
that's
North,
the players,
man.
He
made it there, rolled himself out there. Even though, I mean, he was, you know, he was hurting because he's, you know,
it was Mike
he
Norris.
Even made the effort. Or was
Mike
Norris?
Mike Norris.
Mike
yeah.
Norris, sorry.
No, but we like we all these guys, right? Mike Norris, you know, he lives close, so he drove, but somebody drove him. So all the players, we got them round trip first class flights, right? So I worked with all the players to schedule their flights and make sure they had the preferred airline that they like. I didn't just do none of them got Southwest. They all flew their preferred flight. I got them all first class. I asked them, do you want a window seat? You want an aisle seat? So like all the details of that were lined up. All the official hotel, right, of FanFest, the waterfront at the beautiful Jack London Square. So
shout out the hotel. They hooked it up. They were good to us.
So they made sure nobody paid. So we had unlimited access to the valet. All rooms were upgraded. I mean, it was flawless. The night before we had the private signing, we had everything catered for them. LDB picked up that tab. So they all had a nice spread of like different pizzas and chips and cookies and drinks and water and beer if they wanted. Only Billy North wanted beer, but you know what I mean? And so all of that, all the tables had tablecloths over, and we went in there and put the FanFest, you know, thing on there and displayed all the items. I mean, it was flawless. It was flawless. And then they had ultimate privacy. Nobody was, you know, we didn't leak that they were all staying there. So you had no graphers hanging out.
We had one guy and his kid like randomly walk in. I don't know if you were there for this, Brian. You might have been out. You might have been getting Billy North during this. Like we had this one guy who just like walked in with his kid and they're like over there, like checking out Rob's bobbleheads. And Gabe is standing right next to me and he's like, who's that? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. And so I go over there and go, hey, what's up? And he goes, oh, that's pretty cool. I'm like, yeah, it's a private event, man. You gotta go. And he goes, oh, okay. And he gets his kid and he leaves.
Yeah.
But I was just like, wow, this one rando guy.
Well, now that you've shouted out the Waterfront Hotel, next year when you guys do this again, you're in trouble.
Yeah, well, and yeah, well, I don't know.
We'll do it differently.
Yeah. So, but like you were mentioning earlier about the bobblehead,
I'll say,
like
what one player, I remember hearing this, our good friend Trevor May, I think he called you guys up or the 68s up and asked, is that flight refundable?
Oh yeah,
and he said yes. He goes, okay, good. I want to pay for my flight. So
Trevor May
wanted to be there. He was like, like, no, don't pay for my flight. I'm paying for my flight because I want to be
there. Shout out Trevor May, dude. I was just thinking about Trevor May. He was only there for one season, but like, he's putting himself into this unique territory. Like, he came to Oakland because he wanted to play for the fans. Then he got to connect with them there. Like, I think it's really cool what Trevor May is doing, man. We got to have him on the pod. We got to get Trevor on the pod. Yeah.
It was the only autograph that I got. I forced my way to the front of the line. Got my my reverse boycott thing signed by.
Yeah, I didn't get any autographs.
That's pretty cool, man. Yeah.
I got Scott Braun's autograph, right? Because that was like how we got foul territory to come out. Like, I was like, man, I'm gonna get him to sign the vest. So I had his, but then the morning. Sunday morning, Coco, when we were getting him a car to go to the airport, he signed my vest because I was like, oh, shit, let me just at least get one signature, right? And so, but going back to the bobbleheads, like, you know me, I throw Rob out there to anybody. I'm like, yo, we can make, LDB can make you a bobblehead. And I don't even ask Rob because I know he's down, right? And so, like, literally, he was on it. I think Ben Grieve was the first one, right? Because Ben Grieve and him are friends. And so made him a bobblehead. So then when we landed Coco, like, there wasn't much time before FanFest. So Rob hopped on that. And I don't even know how he cranked it out.
Him and his wife, Mella.
And he's going to be sent. Yeah. And he's going to be sending the big one to Coco.
He's going to be sending him.
Rob's mailing Coco that. He's mailing Grant his. Like, Grant hit him up the next day and he's like, yo, you got my bobblehead ready? And then Ben Grieve's getting his and everything like that. So
I love Balfour. I mean, they're all amazing. They're all so good. Like, but dude, the Balfour one for me is so fucking cool. Like, the font and everything.
Oh,
like,
perfect.
Oh, it's just so cool, dude. Yeah.
And that one's not finished. That one's not finished. He's got to finish the base on that. So Balfour gave him shit about that too. He's, he's got to finish that one up.
I saw Balfour like walking around maybe, 3:45 before the FanFest was over. He just was walking around, cause he just like wanted to see it, wanted
he
to hang
a picture.
Out. I remember, I think I saw, Jen Truly, she was out there and she was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I was like, just go up and talk to him.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't talk to him. I'm like, he's just walking around the fans fest like anyone else. Go up and talk to him, Like, people are like, oh.
Well, he took,
everybody was having
that lemonade. And then he took a picture at Will Cruz's booth with the John Fisher clown, and he was like putting the drink up to John Fisher's mouth.
Dude, Balfour is so great, man. He's so hilarious. Hey, well, so I know you guys got a meeting in like 8 minutes. Is there anything you guys want to? If you guys want to wrap it up,
I want to ask one question.
Yeah, get in there. Get
this has been extremely positive, an extremely positive pod. But if you guys have like 7 or 8 minutes, I want to ask about that mega tweet thread you sent about MLB suing you and all this other junk. Like, what can you tell us about that? I've heard some things through the grapevine about that, but what the heck was all that about? MLB suing Last Eyebar? What's going on?
They didn't sue us, but I saw the tweet from Cavill and I just was disgusted with that line in there that said, this year we're going to be celebrating 55 years of Oakland history. And then looking at the murals and knowing what the murals mean to me.
That was such a bad mural. Dude, I could have done that on Photoshop. Like, literally, that was zero effort.
No, no, no. All those pictures, You know, the painted mural behind home plate, the ramps, the two ramps behind home plate. If you're going back up to the vending room, you guys all know where the vending room is, right? You know, when you're going back up to the vending room.
Between the first and second deck. Yeah.
They just picked like, you know, one third of those photos. Those are all photos from that.
Just green background, A's logo in there. Boom.
Crazy tweet. Dave Cavill says, "Oh, we're so excited to present this banner. We're going to be celebrating 50 years plus A's bullshit, blah, blah, blah." Okay. So then
So I read that and instantly it struck a chord with me. And I'm like, nah, motherfucker. I'm like, and what we've been doing with Last Eyeball.
Hang on. Brian did all of this without talking to me.
Oh, yeah.
But I fully support it. Like, he was already like eight tweets in before I figured out what the fuck he was doing. And I was like, well, whatever. Let him go.
Yeah, this was all me. I didn't consult with my boss. I was like, that's it, dude. That's it. I'm like, you know what, dude? I'm letting this shit out. Like, when the stuff went down with them, we took the high road and didn't mention anything because we were still doing stuff. Our commercial was still on the air. And it's like, we were still going to the games and everything.
We wanted to be good boys. We wanted to do stuff like this. Like, we wanted to work with them. We were having
fun.
Dude,
literally a year ago, ago, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. What was it? Yeah.
And so I said, you know what? I'm going to just pick a few. I'm going to pick a few and then just show them like, hey, you remember this? Yeah, people don't know about this, but this is who you guys really are. You know what I mean? This is what you guys did with us. And so basically what happened, we filed for federal trademarks so we could protect our business name, right? Baseball's Last Sidebar. So we went out, and so in the final 30 days of filing, MLB was notified because the word baseball is in our filing. And so it automatically, lawyers get contacted from MLB. Hey, review this. Are you guys okay with this? We're about to sign these guys' federal trademark. And so a lawyer by the name of Chanel Latimer, shout out to Chanel, she basically emailed us, and it was a long fucking email, and it basically said, you know, we want to reach out to you, we have some concerns. So instantly I knew what it was. So did Paul. And so I emailed right away and, you know, said, yeah, we are totally open to talking and we will work with you guys no matter what, you know, and everything. So turned out they
Major League Baseball?
MLB. She's a lawyer for MLB, New York.
So there's three additional lawyers that were on there as like viewers, but she was the one handling the case. And so basically we talked to her and everything. And she basically said, we saw your site. We saw who you were and what you guys do with your proceeds and everything that you are. And they went and looked at our Instagram and everything. And so they saw all the work we were doing. And like, so they reached out to A's Legal and say, hey, is this for real? Are these guys real? And A's Legal was like, oh yeah, we love them. Yeah, please work with them. So then she comes back and she's like, yeah, A's Legal wants to work with you guys. Here are there's eight designs, right?
He had a line in there somewhere where it was like, normally I just shut you guys down.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
people like you, so we're going to work with you. Which we were like,
I assume Gimme an A was numero uno.
That was one.
We really like this Hal guy. Yeah.
I remember when you guys made that for me and I was like, you just putting the A's logo in there, huh? Okay. Right.
So in the paperwork, there was eight designs, seven of which were what they call trade dress models. Where it's not a direct trademark violation, but what it is being of who we are and how we market ourselves and the context of the design, that combined is a violation and suggests that you're basically making something too close to the official trademark and the official logos. There was one that was pictured that was a trademark violation. That was a Stephen Vogt design. And then there was other ones additionally that we were verbally discussing on the phone going through the website together. So there was like 12 or 13 designs, right? Another one was a trademark violation. So every single one that they identified was ones that we were working on with the A's. Like the trade, the one trademark.
Every single one.
Every single one of them. The direct trademark violation.
They used the Give Me an A on my cutout.
Yep.
On my cutout because I was all worried about that, and then all of a sudden I see they use it for the big cutout during COVID. They just plop plopped your fucking design on there. I was like, well, I guess they're okay with it.
Yeah. And so there was a bunch of stuff because we had such a close relationship with them and we would do so much, like work with the broadcast team, both TV and radio, in-game stuff and everything like that. And so like,
we had a direct line with Catherine Aker.
Yeah. Like we literally had a direct line with her, Parker Preston and stuff like that. Yep. And so basically, and
whenever you call that phone call, this phone just starts smelling like sulfur.
Instantly. Huh? Yeah. So instantly. So I came back. So we talked on the phone, obviously. And so I said, you know, I want to, you know, bring something to your attention. This trademark violation, which is like, that's it, you're shut down. This was commissioned and this was completely initiated by the Oakland A's. I have, and so I had to show all the fucking communications with that and say, look, they're reaching out to us. They approved every step of the way, even had us make edits and had us do this. And look, here's pictures of it in the private, like green room that they have on cupcakes and cakes and presents and all this shit. And
dude, that street design. They're trying to turn it back on you guys.
That's that street design, right? That was presented. So when the players walked into their hotel rooms, they had a gift basket from Last Dive Bar of all these Streak things, the T-shirt, and they all wore to their little event and everything like that. And we were invited.
You guys were like their marketing department.
How much did the A's pay you for that kind of stuff?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look back at it.
We did send them an invoice, but the invoice was only for the physical things. Like, we didn't charge them for the design.
At cost.
Yeah.
And then the Ray Fosse. So that's what got you in trouble. So
with MLB.
Well, yeah. So in the picture, there's four yellow boxes. That was for fucking Ray Fosse, dead Ray Fosse's fucking widow. And his family, and they had we did these metal print signs for them, and they got the whole like set of stuff of "We love you, Ray." And so, like, it's crazy. So, and then I didn't even post this, but I got DMs from Catherine Aker saying, "I reviewed your website," and this is before MLB. "I reviewed your website. I love what you guys do, and I want to figure out how to get you in here selling and being featured as our community partner selling your stuff." And so
they wanted you to sell stuff at Howard Terminal.
Well, no, at the Coliseum already.
The Coliseum.
At the Coliseum. Howard Terminal was our like dream, but yeah,
it was all our dream, man.
They were trying. Yeah, they were. They really wanted us. Even when I ran into Cavill, like even Cavill's like, "Oh, we're trying to get you guys in here to get a booth."
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, they were coming to us, and so yeah, and so like,
here's a trough tin.
So when MLB came after you, what did the A's do? Right? Did the A's just
HUD communication. Sam, they stopped talking to us.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay, so they did all this stuff, and so Nort, you'd think like, oh, don't worry, Catherine Aker's got our back, no problem. So you called up. When did it?
Catherine Aker issued a death sentence. So internally, there was a memo sent to everybody: do not talk, speak, interact, mention anything. Last Dive Bar. Period. They had physical signs posted up in the broadcast booth that said, do not show, mention, or talk Last Dive Bar. They basically like cease and desist everything Last Dive Bar. I had people on the radio telling me like, what the fuck is this? What's going on? And I'm showing them the email from the fucking MLB saying, we have instructed the Oakland A's to work with you. We love what you do. You're good for the A's. You're good for their brand. You're good for baseball. Twice they sent communications to the A's saying, you need to work with Last Dive Bar. Zero communications. They didn't email us a single time. I emailed Catherine Aker once and said, look, they're telling you to work with us. What's going on? Nothing. The next time I saw them was at that bullshit thing they had at Jack London Square, the Spirit Week, and they didn't even fucking look me in the eye. Like, they never knew me. And just the year before, we worked their entire fucking bingo night. We did all of that shit. Not a single thank you, not a single social media mention. We created that fucking bingo night. And most of those, out of the fucking 12 bingo nights we had, or I don't know how many we had, I'm fucking taking down the chairs and setting up the fucking cards and shit. Yep. And then I set my alarm, because at 6:30 I got to run down and go set up a whole fucking theme night.
Yeah, the A's are
you know what I mean?
And you and me both, Brian.
And that thread is
me getting to the fucking,
That thread is nothing, bro. Man. We had to delete over 400 posts That's how much interaction we had with the A's and all these designs and the can't, and not, they're not just designs.
So I want to be clear. They shut off communication with you before they decided before they announced we're going to Vegas.
So they cut it off January, and they made the Vegas announcement in April. Basically.
See, guys, I think they may have known,
but like we got, when did we get contact? Was that October or November by MLB?
It was
like October, wasn't it?
You should have known, like, dude.
And then we had a deadline, and we beat that deadline by months.
Yeah.
And, cause we wanted the approval before the regular season started.
And we got in. So we got,
and we got
jerks.
It.
They're fucking jerks. They're fucking jerks. Even if they knew that, why say no more contact?
Yo, it gets so fucking deep, dude. It gets so deep in the weeds. You have no idea. So, like, Catherine thought, what the fuck, Brian.com was the same company as Last Dive Bar and the same company as the 68s. Like, she was so confused. Yeah. So there's a key reason why all this shit happened. Travis LaDolce left the marketing and PR team. The minute he left, they were fucking clueless and had no idea the pulse of the fan base. They didn't know anybody because Catherine Aker was running the show with everybody she placed after. But Travis is amazing. 17, fucking 20 years working there. And he's an A's fan since he was a kid.
He left to go to the Giants in
2019. So he left right when this shit was about to hit the wall. Right, a lot of people left.
Dude, a lot of people left. Do you remember, like,
2019 going into 2020?
Remember the
guys, Skinner left.
It was so good.
Guys, 2019.
That was the end. That was the
2019.
End.
After 2019, post 2019, every single fucking game, I'd have to go to the restaurant supply store to fill up my goddamn.
Don't you guys have a
like
meeting?
They just didn't give a shit. They didn't give a shit.
Yeah. You know how many times I told Catherine Aker, if there's anything that we're doing that's not like with the rules, let us know, text me, email us, anything. We'll change it. They knew how willing we were to do this because of how passionate we were with what we're doing. You know what I mean? And not once did she say shit. It was the MLB that fucking had to tell us and work with us to correct the things that they completely fucked up and led us astray.
Because we were doing
the right thing, you know?
All that is understandable. You know, like, you know, some lawyers aren't talking to other lawyers. You know, they're out there in New York. You know, everybody doesn't have the time of day to, you know, spend a bunch of hours telling the other lawyers about New York, hey, these guys are cool. But the thing that just drives me up the wall is that when it happened, they didn't just say, oh, yeah. You guys are cool. You know, Catherine Aker didn't get on the phone with New York and say, no, they're cool. What she did was, for some reason, at the moment when, you know, all that goodwill that you'd built up for years, you know, came due, she just went the opposite way. And she said, I don't have time for this. Dude, I don't have time to deal with this. I gotta go start flying to Las Vegas every weekend to meet with community organizations there to lie to their faces. I don't got time to lie to these jokers' faces anymore. So you know what? Just don't talk to them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was pretty hurtful. But you know what? So that tweet was just like, you know what, motherfuckers, fuck you. You guys fucked with us. You guys, you know, we're vindictive. You guys did what you did. So you know what? I'm gonna let a little bit of shit out. And don't worry, there's gonna be stories and everything. We have people lined up that want to basically talk about all these things. We got receipts for motherfucking days. I got all the DMs. I got all the emails. I got all the text messages.
On the documentary crew, we get into a little more detail with it.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I don't want to keep you guys.
The documentary is going to be 60 hours long.
It is going to be 60 hours.
I think they're just filming.
Sometimes I talk to them and I go, well, there's no way, even if this documentary is 3 hours long, there's no way this is going to make it. But
hey, what time is it? We got to go, don't we?
I was going to say,
yeah, we got
a meeting right now, right?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Brian Johansson, Paul Bailey. Make sure to go follow them at Last Dive Bar. Check out all their gear at lastdivebar.com.
Go buy a poster, everybody.
Everybody,
go buy one of these,
dude. They got
everything. Go buy a pin.
They got everything.
Go buy
and more. I want to do a before and after, dude. I remember before, like, two of those things were pretty much empty. So I'm gonna do a before and after, a shot of your wall, dude. Yeah, from yeah. last time. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, well, I got something I need to put up there. All right,
thank you guys.
Al, we'll see you in the next meeting, huh?
Yeah, Hal, you gonna wear that? You gonna wear that?
Alex, I'm so hot. All right, I cannot wait for this podcast to be over.
Yeah, Alex, you're coming to the boycott, right?
Yeah, I'll be back. I'll be back for opening day. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll see y'all there. All right, guys, have a great night.
Talk to you soon.
Win on that.
Peace.